Well, Di, it's Tuesday night, 8 p.m. East Coast time, and we're back live and on BBS Radio. And we've got a good show planned. So why don't you share, if you don't mind, share with everyone what we're talking about tonight. That'd be fun.
Tonight, we're talking about something that relates a lot more with your line of work that you do all the time, which is people who are calling a psychic and wanting answers. And what happens when what the person has told you doesn't happen right away? Because I know that's a big frustration with people. They're investing their time or their money and into a clairvoyant person and saying, you know, give me some advice on this. And you know, the psychic says, well, I see this will happen, or the energy's moving this way to, you know, for this to happen. And they don't see changes immediately. And I'm sure you have that a lot with your clients when they expect something to pop up right away. But I think a lot of people expect something to happen without them doing something. Is that right? You would be more of an expert on this than I am, of course.
Can I tell you something? I love you with all my heart, but you are so funny. You're the psychic. You're the psychic as well. Those of you who are listening,
not as good as
you.
Do you
want to know? I always call you. I go, Di, what do you feel about this, this, and this, right? And she does the same to me. You know, we do it with each other. But, yeah, you're as good or better at me. It doesn't really matter. I don't think there's a better or good. It's just we're all one.
Different.
You know, underneath.
Right.
We read different. So it doesn't really matter. But having fun and enjoying giving readings, working, coaching, or whatever it is that we do is key. But I have people that it's not happening, right? They go, well, when's he going to call? When's she going to call? Mm-hmm. I had three of those today. When is he going to call? When is she going to call? And how am I going to make money, right? Which is key,
right?
Love and money, right? You know?
Right.
So, I mean, I know that you just rekindled a relationship with your guy, and it's a sweet one. But did you lose hope? And I know you and I met through this situation, right, Ashley?
It was before. Yes, I did lose hope for a while.
Okay.
I kept believing because he felt right to me. He felt like this is the right man. And you kept telling me, you know, this is your twin flame. This is, you know, supposed to be together. And then, you know, years went by and I did give up hope. But then it suddenly, all of a sudden, he's back in my life. And it's like, wow, all those years that I thought, you know, I guess he chose something different, because that's what people do. You know, you can have a plan together or a soul agreement to be together, but one person can choose something different, and that's the free will part. You know, we all have free will, and we come in with a plan of our life, and I think there's some major hallmarks in that life that are not going to change, but yet you can change a lot of the details. And one thing I've learned really with you is you're going to have that lesson no matter what, and if this person that you were going to have this relationship with, if they were meant to teach you some lessons and they choose something different, you'll meet somebody else and you'll still get those lessons. You're not going to, it's just going to be in a different form. You know, it'll be the same lessons. And so we'll still have the same experiences that we planned on having in our lives. But sometimes people have free will and they exercise it and they say, you know what? That doesn't feel right to me right now. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to be with somebody else. And so I think that's the most frustrating part of relationships with people, is they feel like this is the one I'm supposed to be with. And that one says, no, this doesn't feel right to me. And, you know, if they call a psychic and the psychic's saying, yes, I see you together, they expect it to be tomorrow. They expect it to be next week or next month. And, you know, if years go by and they're not with that person, they start saying, well, that wasn't right. That person didn't know what they were talking about. And so it's not that they didn't know what they were talking about. It's just that what you're looking at when you're reading energy is what it looks like right now. It's like what this person seems like they're going to be inclined to do this, you know, right now. But it's not that things can't change it. And it's not that we can't change things. And I know I've changed things in my own life where you really thought you saw me going in one direction. And I just didn't about face and said, you know what, I'm not going to go that direction anymore. I'm going to do something different, because I'm like that. I'll just pick up and move. And changed jobs, changed relationships. I've done that quite often, and it's just like I get a wild hair up my ass, and I decide to make a change. And so it's like what the energy was saying was going to unfold at one moment, I've changed, and so something different happened. But the end result is still going to be the same. The end result is I'm going to get through my life, and I'm going to have these lessons that I was meant to learn. And, you know, whether I'm having it with this person or with that job, it doesn't matter. What matters is I'm going to have the feeling. I'm going to have the feeling of great love, or I'm going to have the feeling of accomplishment in my job, or whatever it is, I'm going to have those lessons by the end of my life that I was meant to have. And so I think it's just really difficult for you as a sidekick. That's, you know, that's your primary career. Helping people, and they call you for answers, and they want immediate results. They want life to give them immediate results. And boy, if that's one thing that I've learned in the last 10 years, it's timing. Timing is not always what you think it should be. And but you know, you get frustrated, and you think this is never going to happen. But then suddenly it will unfold for you when you let go, and that's the biggest key. It's like when you let go and just let God and let things happen on their own time, things happen faster than if you're sitting there waiting for that phone call. It's like you push it away. When you're wanting something so bad that you're just waiting there every moment, waiting for this person to call, it's like you're pushing them away and they're not going to call. I think when you finally let go of something and say, okay, if it's meant to be, it'll be. If it's not, I'm going to have, you know, the same, I'll have an equal relationship with somebody else, or an equal job with something else, you know, that's when things open up. It's just the letting go of it. But how many people do you have a day? I know you get constant calls every day of people saying, you know, they want a timeline. And that's just something that a clairvoyant person cannot do. You can't do timelines because time is so different on the other side.
Well, it doesn't exist on the other side. So let me put it like this. People ask me, I want an exact time. Well, you can give, sometimes you can give a general time, okay? But it's a good point. You know, do you feel God, you know, our Heavenly Mother, Heavenly Father, I think God's part of all of us, right? Knows exact time? Do you?
No. Well, they don't have linear time like we do on that side.
I would agree with you on that because, okay, somebody said this to me the other day, and I was like, that's a great point. So God said, if you believe in the Bible, right, some people do, some people don't, it doesn't really matter. I'm going to say it like this. God says when he sees Adam and he comes to visit Adam, he came to visit Adam and Eve every night, right? And he said, so Eve had eaten the bad fruit or eaten whatever from the Bible. There's a story in the beginning, the first story actually in the Bible. And God says, Adam, where's Eve? I'm like, hey, if he's God, isn't he supposed to know where she's at?
Right.
But he didn't. So he says, good point. You know, where's Eve, right? So how funny is that? That rash, she played hide and seek, and God bought into it. It's all good. First game, hide and seek, right there. It's impossible. We're joking a little bit. But, you know, I had somebody ask me last night, Tree, do you not know when he's coming? And, you know, I when you learn your lessons, you're going to get him quicker and easier, or her. And so what's your lessons here? Why are you here? And so that's the reason why psychic readings are great, but coaching, psychic readings give you a vision. Coaching will help you get to that vision. It's like intuitive psychic coaching, whatever you want to call it. And that's what I like better, because tomorrow morning when I tell someone, say, okay, well, he's going to call you, or you've got a great future with this if you do certain things, they're going to forget about the certain things that they need to do. I guarantee you. They're just going to remember, she said he's going to call. She said he's coming back. He said she's coming back. Whatever. So, but when you get really clear on who you are and what your lessons to learn here are, what you're here to teach, then you can attract him. I told someone the other day, she's a client, really nice person too, by the way. And I said, you know what? You think more about your ex-husband than you do about this current love and who he's with. How the heck are you supposed to I said, do you really think that's appealing to a man that you want to attract in your life? To be, you be thinking about your ex-husband and who he's with and why you can't be as happy as him because you don't have the love yet and he does. And she got it, right? She doesn't even think about him anymore. You know, so, and she, and it's been time and she worked on it, right? But certain things like that will really hold you back. And I'm going to say this because I think we live over 800 lifetimes, okay? You know, there's a book out there, The Soul Contract, and I, who's it by? I can't remember who it's by now, but the, Your Soul's Contract, the life you, you plan to live before you were born. And it's a great book. It was a life-changing book for me. And there are people that will decide to do something different rather than honor their soul's contract. And so they never live the life that they were meant to live, right? So how happy can they be doing that? You know what I mean? And so when you get on the right page and you start, like, learning your lessons and say, okay, these are the lessons. I'm learning the lesson of jealousy or entitlement or self-esteem or, you know, there's so many out there. I mean, the list goes on. We all have them. So nobody has more than the other, or maybe, I don't think that's to do. We've all got lessons to learn. But when we really get clear on why we're here and the lessons that we're here to learn and the life we're supposed to lead, you know, then we can move quickly and then we can enjoy ourselves more or, you know, go to the other side if that's what we want to do. Because people, there's been a lot of young teens that have recently passed away in my own circle of friends. So, and I know you've had that as well.
Yeah.
So that's something that, you know, I get. Another thing is, and this is a key, if you're looking at a clairvoyant psychic, you know, somebody, make sure that they're in a good relationship if you're asking them about relationship questions, okay? Right? So,
right.
I mean, think about that. I mean, what's your take on that? You and I have talked about that and laughed about it so many times, okay? So what's your take on it? Tell me.
Oh, it's, you know, it's so funny because I think one of the first people I ever met who was a psychic, I didn't realize that she was at the time when I met her, but she's come to be a good friend. But she's really struggled in her own personal life, and she is someone who I would never go to with a relationship question because it her answer is going to be colored by her disdain for men, and so it's always going to be the glass half empty that she sees. She'll see it because it's a person that you're talking to. And they're getting messages from God, from your angels, from your deceased loved ones, who, where, however they're getting their messages, they're interpreting it through their own human, you know, consciousness.
Personality.
And so if you're right, it's your personality. And if you're a man hater and somebody's asking you about a man, you're going to color your answer a little bit with that. And so you do need to know who you're talking to if you're going to a psychic for some guidance. And that's what I think people need to understand. It's not getting answers. It's not getting, okay, this is sealed in stone. It's getting some guidance. It's getting an impression of, okay, this is the way the energy is moving. This is what it looks like is going to happen. And I'm not saying that you don't get some very concrete things, because I know you do. You've gotten very concrete things. You'll get a picture of a situation in your head, and you'll say, I see this person's talking to you, you know, this, you'll have something that is concrete and it will happen. But it's
right.
Always on whatever time it happens. It may not be tomorrow. It may be a month from now, but, and sometimes, you know, with time you can judge it pretty well, you know, like if it's a job situation, you know, people call, am I going to get this promotion? You're good at, you know, you'll see, yeah, this, it's an affirmative with this, and I see this person you're going to be meeting with, and they're going to like you, and they're going to make you an offer. I mean, sometimes it is a shortened time frame, but I know most of the calls you get, because you always joke and call them the M&M questions, men and money, it's always in that order, too. It's not just men, it's men and women, but it's love and money, and people always ask about love first. They want the love before they want the money, and that's our human heart. You know, people always say, I want to win the lottery. I want to win $1 million. But really what they want is just to be happy. And so what they want first is the love part. And that's trickier, because it's not just, yes, you're going up for a new job and whether you're going to get it or not. It relies on another person, another human being, to also be at the same point that you're at to say, yeah, I'm ready for this relationship. But I know what you get all day long is people calling, holding on to an old relationship, you know, instead of saying, okay, I'm open to a new one. I'm open to this great love. I don't care what he or she looks like. I'm open. I'm ready for this love now. I've worked on myself, and that's something that people don't like to do. They don't want to do the work. They don't want to do the coaching. They don't want to have to work on their own issues. They want this magical prince or princess to swoop down and save them from themselves and make everything perfect. And that's just not how love works. You've got to love yourself first, and I think that's the biggest lesson we've all got, you know, on this journey is learning how to love ourselves first, and then we will be lovable to someone else. But people don't want to do that. We want that magic pill. We want the knight in shining armor to save our day and make us whole again. And nobody can make you whole again. You've got to do it yourself.
Yeah, that is so true. So, you know, I went, before you get forward, one of the things that you as a person, any of us, or myself, Di, or anybody else, we want to know is look at the person that you're going to talk to. Find out what her relationship is or his relationship. It doesn't mean that they have to be with someone.
Right.
What it means is that they're comfortable enough in their own skin to be alone. You know what I mean? And be okay with that and be happy with that. And then if they got a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a husband or wife, whatever, then they're happy with that. You know, but if you're talking to a man or a woman, and I'll never forget this. I was in there's a metaphysical fair, and the lady was talking to me. We're sitting down. She goes, yeah, I just had an argument with my husband today. He says, I can't get a new car. And this is the psychic talking to me, right? I'm like, okay, this is not good. And she goes, and I was like, yeah, okay. But she said to me, she said, I don't see him calling, and I don't see this, and I, you know, meanwhile, he called me that morning, and all I wanted was to ask her, you know, a couple other questions, and, you know, and I got up thinking, and that taught me a lesson. I was like, wow, all right, make sure that before I do any kind of reading or do any kind of coaching, that I ask for any information to come from my soul rather than my personality, because, you know, I have a problem with driving sometimes, and people, you know, saying, doing not the best driving. I'm the only good driver on 95 when I'm driving.
I know. You have a road rage issue. Tree, let's just say it.
Okay, I have a road rage issue. Right, you're right. And but, you know, I would never think about doing a reading if I were feeling like that. I just wouldn't, you know. And or if my blood sugar was low because, you know, I exercise or run a lot. I just wouldn't. And so make sure you know that person who you're talking to. And make sure, you know, you find out, do they do daily disciplines to make sure they're cool with giving you coaching or reading? You know, I would never question Tony Robbins, right? Because he's a great coach. Doreen Virtue, she's a great coach. She's a great intuitive coach. So is Tony Robbins. I don't know if he calls himself intuitive. But you know they do the daily work to be able to work with people. And and so, you know, if you're asking someone about money, a clairvoyant about money, and you go, please give me the lotto numbers. Now, do you not think if she could get the lotto numbers or he could get the lotto numbers, they would have given them to themselves, right? Come on.
Right, you know? Right, exactly. You know, yes.
Okay, you know, and that's being facetious right there. I'm being extreme, but, you know, I ask them what their deal is. And there's times we've all lived in survival mode, so I'm not knocking that. Okay, I get it. But if they are there the majority of their life and they're living there all the time and you want to get financial advice, because I've seen people come to me, to others, I know to you, wanting to know financial things to what they should invest in. And you're saying to yourself, well, how am I going to pay my electric bill or how am I going to pay my rent, right? Mm-hmm. And yet you're telling them where to invest in. Come on. Would you do that? Would you trust a clairvoyant, a psychic, a coach, or intuitive, whatever you want to call yourself, okay, to give you advice like that? Find out more about that person, you know, and find out about their financial, you know, their financial personality, or find out what they feel, how they are doing. You know what I mean? Because it's worth it. If you're going to ask a clairvoyant about how to make money and she or he is not making money themselves, you need to go to a different person or go to someone else. You know what I mean? That would be like going to, if you're pregnant, going to an OB, a plumber, okay, to get baby, get how to take care of your pregnancy. You wouldn't do that. You go to OBGYN, you know. So that's the biggest thing I've noticed about people. And in our craft, okay, that's one thing that I noticed about psychics and clairvoyance. I mean, sometimes we look like wearing a sun, moon, and stars hat, and that's okay if that's who you are. Okay, but if you're wanting to work with mainstream people, making a difference in that arena, then you got to have your act together. And that's okay if you've dropped the ball a few times, as long as when you're trying to work with them, you got your ball, you got it all together. You know what I mean? And that's something I think that people miss out, because there are some great clairvoyants out there, psychics or intuitive coaches, whatever. You know, what's the difference between a psychic and a psychic coach? And a psychic coach gives you a vision and then it helps you build a tool to create that great life on every level. Just a regular psychic, which is great, is someone that will give you a reading and then say, pay me the money, I will see you another time. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
exactly.
Yeah. See.
Which is what I think most of them do. I always liked you because you always look at the whys. You know, if I'm struggling with a coworker, let's say, right, you'll say, what is the why behind it? And you'll look at, why are they behaving this way? And that always gives you so much illumination when you're struggling with a person, because everybody has their own motivation. And if you're having difficulty with the family member, or a partner, whoever, it's so great to have that knowledge of, okay, now I see where they're coming from. And that helps people. And you're one of the few people I know who really look at that and say, okay, this is where I'm seeing them. You know, this is what's motivating them to do this or behave this way. And that is helpful to people when they're really struggling to get along with people, whether it's their family member, a boss, whoever, when they know the whys behind the person's behavior. Because you can kind of pick and choose your own behavior then. So, you know, with that understanding that this person isn't hating me, they're not, you know, disliking me, it's just because they have a jealousy or they have a fear or whatever it is, and you can be a lot more compassionate with them and build that relationship a lot better when you know the why behind it. And that's, you know, looking at our own whys, it's like people who are saying, you know, when will I win the lottery? What you need to look at is, you know, why am I struggling with money? Why do I have issues surrounding money? And what do I need to work on with myself so that I will learn how to eliminate those issues? So there's always all the whys behind our own behavior, but people don't like to look at that. They don't want to improve themselves. They want that immediate answer, yes, this is going to happen. And like you said, if that's all they want to call somebody and say, yeah, I'll give you a reading, this is what I'm seeing. But I know you have the ability, which I do not have, to actually see angels and see, you know, dead people. I see dead people. But
dead people.
I've seen my son. You know, I've seen people I know from time to time. I've seen him more upon waking. It's like when your brain is not yet engaged into reality, but yet you're sort of in that half wake, half dream state. I'll have a conversation with Mikey. But it's usually a short one. And then all of a sudden, you know, I'm back in reality and his face fades away from me. But you can see that all the time, which is fascinating to me. I don't know how you, I don't know how you're saying, actually, sometimes, because it's like you have all these voices in your head.
Right? Imagine, right? Have your voices, right?
You hear voices all the time, but you'll see them in your mind's eye. You'll see who you're talking to. And I know people come to you, you know, they'll just pop in when you're meditating. Different people, some people you don't even know, will just pop into you. And it's always with a message for their loved one or a message for you or whatever. And that is, you know, like divine wisdom. They're seeing the whole picture where we only see, you know, a one-dimensional part of it. And that, to me, is fascinating for you, you know, to be able to tap into stuff like that. And like, so when you give me messages from my son, I always really take them to heart because it's like he's my connection. He's my connection to the other side. I feel like he's a special person who looks out for me a lot.
Yes, he does. You know, Di, what I love about him, I'll never forget. Hey, Di, Mike is showing up in drag. He's dressed in drag. I could not figure out why he was dressed in drag.
Yes, right.
Do you remember that?
So, yes, because that was his sister. Mm-hmm. He was trying to remind her of how they had played dress up. She used to dress him up, and she'd call him Michelle instead of Mikey. And they would do fashion shows because Susie always wanted a sister. She wanted a little sister, and since she had a little brother, she made him be a girl. And he was showing you, and I remember it was right when I think she was having her second daughter that he did that. And it was like he was showing her that he was actually playing with the babies at the time because the babies don't differentiate between this person's real and this person's not. And in fact, my 3-year-old granddaughter talks about Uncle Mikey like he's just in the next room. And I was over there playing ball with her one day, and she goes, "Oh, where is he? He's hiding." And I said, "Who?" And she stopped, you know, playing catch, and she ran over to this wall of pictures that Susie has, and she found Mikey, and she said, "Uncle Mikey, I don't know where he is, but he's hiding." And so it's like, I think she still sees him, but I think when she gets a little older, unfortunately, she'll do what most people do, and she'll start saying, "Well, I can't see him. He's dead now," and she'll lose that ability. I think we put that veil back over our faces, you know. But, yeah, that was hilarious. Mikey was just coming to say, "I'm playing dress up. I'm playing with the girls, and they're gonna play dress up." You know, when they get older, Lila's going to have her little sister instead of having to make her little brother into Michelle.
I'll never forget that. I gotta tell you something, Di. But anyway, you got it. So that was sweet. And by the way, Mikey came to you, I think, around Christmas time or right before, right after, and said,
"Yeah,
the gift that Cherie and Nodge have, you have the same." I remember that too.
Yeah,
confirming that
you're Susie. He showed up at Susie, and he looks different. And I hadn't told her that. That you always see him looking a little bit different than what I always pictured him, because she called me when she woke up and she said, "I had the weirdest experience." She said, "I don't know if it was a visit from Mikey or a dream, but I swear I was awake." And she said, "But he didn't look like he did the way he died. He looked like he did in high school, only his hair was darker." And I said, "That's exactly how Cherie always sees him, because when you saw high school pictures of him, you said, that's how he always looks when he comes to me, only his hair looks darker like his dad." And that's how Susie saw him. And he was standing at the foot of her bed, and he said, "Mama can do the same thing that Cherie and John can." It was another man who has clairvoyant abilities. "Mama can do the same thing that Cherie and John can. But she," what did he say, "she needs to learn to trust herself," or something like that.
Yes, right, exactly.
And he said that she can't see things for herself, which you can't. God doesn't ever let you see things for yourself. If psychics could see their own future, you'd be paralyzed in your own house because you would never want to do anything, because none of us want to get hurt. You would never enter into a relationship if you knew it wasn't going to be smooth sailing all the way. You know, you wouldn't. So you're not alone.
You got a point. Well, I have to share this with you. This is funny, okay? So last night I had a dream. I was in a... it wasn't a dream. I was meditating, and I'm in a great place in my life now. It's just amazing, and it just has really shifted in the past probably less than 30 days. And, you know, you appreciate the good because you go through challenges. So anyway, I've moved. I'm in a new place, and I'm allowed to be very creative, or allowing myself to be very creative. And so I'm in this dream. My mother's there, and she's on the other side, and she says, "I want you to watch this." So I'm watching it, and it's one of my clients, and she's got two men, and she's marrying two men. And so I woke up. I go, "Great, Mom, thanks." I said, "She gets to go to Utah for men, okay, and marry two men." And, you know, and I said, "I'm still waiting for, you know, whatever." And so I called her, I called her friend. I said, "Hey, listen," I said, "let her know this. You know, I had this dream and blah, blah, blah." And she goes, "Well, that's her. She's having problems with that guy. He has two faces." To that guy, I go, "Yes, there he is.
Two faces."
Yeah, you know, because we always have a road rage guy or girl, whatever that road rage is. You know, same set of challenges, you know, or we're difficult in. And we also have the sweet soul self, right? So that was,
right.
You know, and we all do, you know. And so I got to see, the girl called me, and she goes, "Yeah." She goes, "There's some challenges there." I said, "Well, you know, I saw them getting married. her and the guy with the, you know, this, you know, because if he's got one or two different sides, that's cool. As long as he doesn't have 50, like Sybil. Do you take Sybil to be married?
Sybil.
Wouldn't that be, you know, Sybil? Sounds like some of my dates. But anyway, it's a whole other story. You know, but it's like so cool to see that, you know, because it's like you can help people, right? And she's a sweet lady. So she goes, I get it. No worries. I said, good. Enjoy. You know, so anyway, I was getting all upset. I said, because she gets to marry two men, like Utah men get to marry two women. Okay, you know what I mean? So anyway,
yes.
I'm teasing about that, but wouldn't it be great, right? Like, okay, I'm going to go with husband.
You'll
number
never
two
be bored.
No. You'll never be bored.
The variety is the spice of life.
Yeah, there you go. All right, there you go. Just as long as you get, yeah, well, I'm going to leave that one alone. So anyway, moving on. That's a funny die. Yeah, so there you go. That's something that I have realized too as well. You know what I mean? You just got to have integrity when you do this work, and you have to be honest, being honest with yourself, and that's so hard to do sometimes because you want to. I see a lot of metaphysical, spiritual people, they own who they are, and when you own who you are, then you can really make a difference, you know what I mean? And that's what it's about. And, you know, and I know that you're, like, amazing right now. You know, you're coming from such a high place, right? Hasn't been easy. And how did you do that, you know?
Well,
because you're able to give great advice. I call you every morning, you know, say, God, what do you feel about this? You know, so how do you do that?
It's, well, it's been a journey of learning my own self-worth, and it's been a tough one. And I think that's one of all of our biggest lessons is learning that we are valuable because we try so hard to be valuable to other people. And it's like we get drawn into these relationships that test our own self-worth. And that's why we're there. You know, our brain tricks us into being attracted to people that are not really meant for us, but it's because those people challenge our self-worth. You know, we have to prove ourselves to them. We have to prove ourselves worthy. And I've gone through that, like most people have, where you get, you know, into a relationship and your brain is telling you, well, I like this person because they're funny, or I like this person because they're good looking or whatever. But the real reason you're attracted to them is because they're challenging your ego. They're making your ego work for their approval. and you know,
that's
sometimes
true.
It takes years for you to keep going on this, you know, like the hamster wheel where you're just constantly trying to prove yourself and you know, I will use the words make them happy. You can't make anybody else happy. You know, you can make yourself happy, but they have to make them happy. But it's like that's what we're driven to do. It's like I want to make them happy with me and make them look at me through the eyes that I'm looking at them at. And so when you're attracted to this person, it's not that you're loving them so much because you may step back and say, you know what, I really don't love them. they're selfish or they're egotistical or they're entitled or whatever qualities that you don't like. They may possess all these negative qualities that you really don't love. But yet what you're really loving is that they're making you prove that you're good enough for them. And when you finally realize, you know, they're not a level above me, they're my equal. In fact, as far as soul evolvement is concerned, they may be a little bit lower than me, you know. And I'm as good as them. They're not better than me. And when you finally start looking at them as a human being with faults and your ego no longer needs to prove itself, you suddenly lose that attraction. And it's like you fall out of love. But you were never really in love with them in the first place. Your ego loved them, but your heart didn't. You know, your heart all along said, this person is really not for you. They don't have the qualities that you really value. But yet they're making you prove yourself because they're hard to get, you know, you're chasing them and you're trying so hard to show them how valuable you are. But in that process, you're showing yourself how valuable you are. And you finally reach a point where you stand up and say, you know what, I'm better than this. I'm better than what they're giving. And if they don't see that, screw them. I can find somebody else who does. And I'm sorry, I have a frog in my throat. But
no worries.
That's, you know, that's what I've gone through. repeatedly throughout my life is always trying to work to prove I'm worthy for someone. And when you finally, you know, I had to be in my 50s before I finally learned that, which is unfortunate. I don't think most people have to be as old as I am before they finally find their self-worth. But when you finally do, it's the greatest feeling in the world because you're free. You're free to make really conscious choices over who you want to be with. Do you want to be with someone who has qualities that you love and you can look at them as a soul and say, I love everything inside of you. I want to be with these qualities, instead of looking at the next jerk that comes along and saying, well, they're going to make me chase them, so I must like them. You know, it's finally like getting control over your ego and not letting your ego make decisions. And one of the greatest pieces I've ever read was by a kind of a metaphysical guru guy, but he did a piece about the dark night of the soul, which is never just one night. It's months or years. It's like you're, it's almost like a soul depression. It's like you feel depressed, but yet you can still get up and go to work and you still function, but you're not really happy. And you start questioning yourself and you start questioning life and you wonder why you're here, you know, and you don't feel like you're of any service really to anybody, and you just exist. You just kind of get through. And it's like this battle that your higher consciousness is doing with your ego, and it finally wins. You know, your ego keeps saying, no, I'm the one in charge. I always want to be in charge. But when your ego finally realizes I'm the one who's causing the heartache, your heart takes over and your soul starts making your decisions instead of letting your ego make them. And it's kind of like you dissolve your ego. I remember his words were your crusty old ego finally just sheds and falls off of you and you're free then because you're not being bound by your ego anymore. And that was, I read that piece. I still remember reading it, and it just resonated with me because I had just kind of gone through that process, and I was like, wow, I'm not the only one who's felt like that. But it's a journey for a lot of us. I think some of us have a longer dark night of the soul than others do.
Well, you've been through it about, and I remember this, you went through it about 7 years. A lady told you, somebody who was in astrology, said that you were going to go the next 7 years were going to be difficult, and you just came out of it, and now you and your guy are together, which is cool. And so you had to go through that dark night of the soul, and I feel like that I've come through it myself the past couple years. And year and a half. Yeah, and you accept yourself more, you know, and I don't think it's one thing. I think it's a period of time where you choose to learn and just, or you say, screw it, I'm not going to learn, I'm going to be angry and mad, and why can't it be like this, and we live in the past. But you're right on about that diet, you know, so... and look at you now, as bad as life is, I mean, I look at you and, you know, and your guy, you guys go out there and you feed the little deer.
Feed the deer.
The deer whisperers, they come up to her, you know, she's in the mountains in Colorado, and they come up there and you can feed them, and Scott feeds them, and you guys feed them and hang together, and the little squirrels, and then he had a little bear that came and broke the squirrel feeder or the bird feeder.
Darn bear.
Well, how cool is your, you got a cool life there, you know. I'm down here in Florida where it's, you know, where it's like I run with my dogs. They got a backyard and I can go, you know, training and having a great time. You've been happy by yourself, and now you feel like you deserve to be happy with someone else. And so you are now. I've never seen you this happy.
That's the big key. Is learning to be happy by yourself. And I have been alone for many years. I've been divorced, since 2002. So 15 years, you know, I have really been alone. Although there was a little stint in there where I was cohabitating with someone, but that was a short-lived thing. But I mean, I have learned, I am happy alone. I'd rather be alone than be with somebody that I don't want to be with. And I've learned that.
Gotcha.
It's like, you know, as much as you may get lonely, but you can always pick up the phone and talk to your friend. You can always go, you know, meet some friends for dinner or whatever. So, that's what I see a lot with my friends is their fear of being alone, and they end one relationship, and they don't even process through what they were meant to learn from that, and they're hurrying and trying to replace that person and fill that void in their life, and they're bouncing from one bad relationship to the next because they're not processing the internal lessons they're supposed to be getting. So they're making the same mistakes. They're making the same bad choices. They may be choosing a new person, and they may think this person's totally different when they're not. They're actually aggravating the same old wounds that the last person did. They're just doing it in a different way. It's like, you know, they may be a nicer version of the last person, but they're still aggravating that self-worth issue. And so until you finally heal that up and find your self-worth and feel happy alone, you're not going to get that great relationship in your life. So if you're one of those people who just an endless cycle of girlfriends and boyfriends, the magic wand is just not going to appear to you until you do the work on yourself. And I've worked a lot on myself, and I self-analyze a lot. You know, I sit out on my deck and stare at the mountain and think, why did I do that? You know, what motivated me to do this or be attracted to that? And when you start really digging deeper, it's amazing, like, the insight you'll get. You'll get flashes of old memories of, like, your childhood. And I know Scott and I had this great conversation when we were talking about our childhood, and like, we both had great parents, and yet, you know I've had issues throughout my adult life that really stemmed from my feelings of I need to work to make my dad proud of me. And I love my dad, and my dad's a great dad, but I had these issues in me as a little girl that I'm not good enough. I got to be perfect, and I got to be straight A student. I've got to be a good athlete. I got to do all this stuff to make my dad proud of me. And it's like I carried that into my adult life, and I would, you know, be attracted to men who almost represented my dad. It's the Freudian thing, you know. It's like I hadn't worked through the issues that I had with my dad. And
right.
When I finally did, you know, when I finally started realizing, okay, some of this stuff, it's not just from like a past relationship with the man, it's from my childhood. And when you start looking at that, you'll get these memories popping into your head. And I know that's something that you always ask me. You'll say, this is an old feeling. When was the first time you had that feeling? And you make me look back and think, okay, when is the first time I ever felt jealousy or whatever? And I'll think, God, it was from my sister or something, you know. And you start realizing some of the baggage we have are such old wounds, and they're childhood wounds, and you can go back with your adult wisdom and heal the wound, you know, if you will open that door and look at the skeletons in your own closet. People don't like to look at that.
Right. You're right. They don't. They just don't.
Right.
Yeah.
And they don't like to look at their own bad behavior. And, you know, I know I've had like a failed relationship, and I like to point fingers and say, oh, this guy was such a jerk. But underneath it all, I know I was really the one who was not being a great partner because my heart was not committed there. And so, you know, when you finally own your own truth and you've owned the fact that, yeah, you had responsibility, it's not always somebody else's fault, it's very freeing. It's very freeing to say, you know what, I'm a human being. Yes, I've made mistakes. I've made some choices that were not the best, but I own those mistakes, and I've learned from them, and I've moved on. And it's just looking at the skeletons in your own closet that people just don't want to do. They don't want to do that. They want to call you up and say, when am I going to have, you know, the life of my dreams without doing the work? They have to do the work.
That's true. Those do the work, get to pay. And people don't want to look at the feelings. Because normally that feeling that you're feeling with, for instance, a woman or a man, whatever it is, hurt, anger, jealousy, whatever, that is a feeling that's been there for a long time. And that person is just magnifying it again. So you have a chance to look mm-hmm. at it and heal it. What do we say?
Right.
First of all, you feel it. Okay, you deal it, feel it, and heal it. Sounds easy, doesn't it? It's a lot harder than it sounds. I get that.
It is.
You know, so,
a
you know,
lot
yeah,
harder
it
than
is.
So. Mm-hmm.
But you know, I we're getting ready. We've got a couple more minutes here, but if you're going to get a reading, you're going to get a coach, your intuitive coach, and you want to create a great life. What does that look like in every area you know, relationships, family, your bank account, your career, your passion, whatever it is, health, wellness, then make sure you're willing to look at yourself. You know, I have a friend of mine that she says, Tari, I couldn't work in that. And she goes, because people don't want to hear the truth. And I think that psychics are put on a pedestal that we have this great power. And I got to tell you, we all have that great power. And the pedestal doesn't need to be a pedestal. We just really need to tune into what we're feeling and what we're thinking and look at our own lives and then get a clairvoyant, get a psychic, whatever you want to call them, to help you look at things in your own life. And you know, because most of us have been trained. And where you can create a great life, and it's not you sitting in the sofa, laying on the sofa, saying, "Tell me what to do," or "Make it happen." It's about you rolling up your sleeves, your butt up, your head down, and you doing it yourself. And we're going to help, right? Because I'm doing it myself. You help me. You do it yourself. I'm helping you, right? Mm-hmm. And that's just the way it is. And I'm so frustrated because I have people come to me all the time, Tari, why can't I? Because you've got to roll up your sleeves and you've got to look at yourself and you look at every relationship you've ever had and you go, okay, the only constant is me. And what is it that I don't like in this relationship? But remember, you're the only constant. Okay. I'm the only constant in my relationship. And when you can look at that and figure out what went wrong, it usually has something to do with you. Well, he cheated. Well, if there's a lot of he's and there's only one you, and you keep attracting cheaters, or she keeps attracting cheaters, or whatever, then you got to look at yourself. You just do. Or cheating, I'm saying gambling, whatever it is. You know what I mean? Lying. Don't you agree? That's
users.
True.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. I know one of my girlfriends. I just had a conversation about this. It's like, I just keep getting users. She's like, I keep getting men that use me. And it's like, well, they're only taking what you're offering. You know, you're attracting them because you're wanting to be used. And it's like, that's a hard concept to grasp, but it's like on a soul level, you know, you need to work on standing up for yourself and not letting people take advantage of you. Right. So you get attracted to that.
That's right. You're right on about that. That's so true. So you keep attracting users so you can put your boundaries up and say no more. And once you do that, you've settled that karmic lesson, whatever. So anyway, ask to receive a karmic lesson rather than blame somebody else. Blaming will only bring it to you twice as hard, three times as hard.
Right.
And then
if you don't get the lesson the first time.
Oh, yeah.
The lesson that would be harder. That's the truth, though. And you said that a long time ago. You said, when God presents you with the lesson, you have an opportunity to learn it the easy way. And if you don't, you're going to have to learn it again the hard way. And if you don't get it then, it's going to come back even harder. And that is so true, and I see it in so many people's lives where, you're just going to have to keep getting pounded with this lesson, and it's going to get harder and harder and harder every time until you finally get it.
That's true. Anyway, we're running out of time, I think. So, but let's, thanks, Ty. That was some good points you brought up. I appreciate it. You know, and you're great at what you do. And she's as clairvoyant as, according to Mikey, and I know that because I call her every morning saying, what's the story here? You know, so it's all good. But anyway, you can go to Dear Angels to see it. We're getting our new book. It's coming out, Dear Angels. It's some stories about people, and it's fun. It's humorous. It's also some lessons in there that will help us all. And so Di and I have put a lot in there, effort in about the soul contracts and the soul lessons, and also, as I said, humor. And then follow us on Instagram, Angel Coaches, and Dear Angels, or we also have Angel Coaches Facebook page, Dear Angels Facebook. Yeah. All of it. So, so we've got Diane Bucci. Yes, Tari Abbott. You could find us there too as well. But thank you guys for listening, and we will see you next Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Bye now.